146. Someone said the best things in life are free. Now, obviously, I think we know that's not true, but in Scripture, I want to show you the best things in life, they are free. And now, it didn't cost us anything, but God provides them. And as we see that in Psalm 146, it's just 10 verses, and if you're able to stand with us, let's stand together and read from this passage. If you'll notice, it starts with "Praise ye the Lord," and it also ends with "Praise ye the Lord." So it says, "Praise ye the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. While I live, will I praise the Lord. I will sing praises unto my God while I have any being. Put not your trust in princes, nor in the son of man." Now that's talking about mortal man, not God. And what does he mean? In other words, don't misplace your trust. So often we're guilty of misplacing our trust. We see that really talked about in verses 3 and 4. He says, "Put not your trust in princes," that's people of influence, "nor in the son of man," that's mortal man, "in whom there is no help." In other words, there's no salvation. "His breath, his spirit goeth forth, it departs, he returneth to his earth in that very day, his thoughts perish. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God, which made heaven and earth, the sea and all that therein is, which keepeth truth forever, which executeth judgment," that is justice, "for the oppressed, which giveth food to the hungry. The Lord looseth the prisoners," that is, he sets them free. "The Lord openeth the eyes of the blind. The Lord riseth them that are bowed down. The Lord loveth the righteous. The Lord preserveth," that is, he protects the strangers. "He relieveth the fatherless," that is, he supports them, "and widow. But the way of the wicked he turneth upside down. The Lord shall, he will reign forever, even thy God, O Zion, unto all generations." And then he says, what? "Praise ye the Lord." Let us pray together. Father, thank you for the word of God that you have given to us today. And Lord, you have provided the best things in life for your children. And we thank you for that. And God, give us insight in the Word of God of what we need to leave here with today. May you be worshiped in our time of study and preaching of your Word. But also, God, may you lift any burdens, any cares that we're carrying. Maybe, Lord, heal those spiritual wounds that may be, causing the pain that sometimes we feel. Lord, we thank you that you've given us a nice, comfortable building to meet in. And Lord, I pray that we would listen intently and allow the Holy Spirit of God to have liberty to work. In Jesus' name, amen. Please listen as my wife, I know, has a message and song that would be a blessing to you. Amen. Amen. Good message and song. Our text verse is verse 5 this morning, if you could look back with me there. Verse 5 of Psalm 146, the psalmist writes, "Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord." You know, just as we just heard from this message and song this morning, you know, God is a God of blessings, and in life we know that everything comes from the Lord Jesus. Would you agree with that? Say amen. Everything, let me preface by saying, everything good comes from the Lord Jesus. And often, as we find in life, there are sometimes we are looking for better things. We're looking for things that will bring us happiness, that will bring us joy. And sometimes we're guilty even of trying to find happiness in the wrong places. You've heard that, right? Trying to find happiness in the wrong places. And often, again, Christians are guilty of that. We should know better, right? We tell our kids that sometimes when they do bad, and one of the first things we'll tell them is we've tried to train them, you know better. You know, you've used that term. I know I have with my kids. You know better than say that, or you know better than do that. And why do we say that? Because, you know, we've tried to train them well, and or we try to teach them the right way. Well, you know, God, you know, in His Word does the same thing for us. We as Christians ought to know better. And one of the things that we can take assurance in that everything good comes from Jesus. So why is it that sometimes we try to find happiness in all the wrong places when we find that Jesus is the one who does bring happiness? I remember reading a few books by C.S. Lewis. C.S. Lewis is a Christian author. He made this statement, and I quote, he says, "We try to be our own masters as if we had created ourselves. Then we hopelessly strive to invent some sort of happiness for ourselves outside of God, apart from God. And out of that hopeless attempt has come human history, the long, terrible story of man trying to find something other than God which will make him happy." And you know what? That is often what we're like sometimes. We're trying to find happiness in other places than in God. Church, God cannot give us happiness and peace apart from Himself. God cannot give us happiness and peace and joy apart from Himself, because it is not there. There is no such thing without God's presence in our lives. You won't find happiness. You won't find joy. You won't find peace unless God's there. Would you agree with that? Say amen. God's there. He has to be there to find those things. And you see, to know true joy and happiness, then you must know the holiness of God. And we see the psalmist really laying that out here pretty clear for us. You know, another Christian author by the name of Oswald Chambers said, "Happiness is a thing that comes and goes. It can never be an end in itself." But he says, holiness, not happiness, is the end of man. So you want happiness. You want the things that God wants to give to us in life, the joy, the peace. Well, you need to rest in the holiness of God. And then one more. This was a preacher, D. Martin Lloyd. He also is an author. D. Martin Lloyd Jones said, "They alone are truly happy who are seeking to be righteous." And he says, put happiness in the place of righteousness, and you will never get it. If you put happiness in the place of righteousness. And so often, again, that's what we're guilty of. Why? Because Satan likes for us to believe that committing sin brings happiness. In other words, not living right, not living righteous. You know, Satan doesn't want you to live righteous. And that's why he tempts us with sin. And every day, you know, we battle with sin, thinking that if we'll commit this sin, then we'll find happiness. If we commit this sin, we'll find joy. And because that's really what people are seeking after a lot of in life. So, church, we must remember we cannot purchase happiness, can we? We cannot store happiness away. Happiness is not found in treasures, as often we're guilty of doing. It cannot be found in things. It cannot be found in theories or thrills. None of these things last. So everything we have to keep in mind, good, everything good comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. By the way, thank God for precious memories. Aren't you thankful for that? All of us have good memories of things. And so, by the way, memories, good memories, have a way sometimes to bring happiness. They can. And I thank God for memories. I treasure them. You know, but God does not want us to face life looking in a rearview mirror. Nothing wrong with having good memories of people and things in the past. But God wants us to face the future depending on Him. And what is it that you need right now? You might find that yourself needing what the psalmist says in verse 5, and that is help. You know, happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help. You might find that in verse 5 that you need hope. When you have God's help and hope, then you'll experience God's happiness as well. And so thank God for precious memories. Thank God for the fact that God's given us His Word today.
as a medicine for the soul. I don't take a lot of medicine, thank the Lord. I've been blessed right now with good health. Every so often, I may take a Tylenol, or maybe a two. But I try not to, I try to endure sometimes pain. But I really, and by the way, for those of you that have to take medicine, I understand it fully. I'm not advocating you shouldn't take medicine. But medicine, obviously, is often given to us, hopefully, in the right way, for our good. When a doctor prescribes that, hopefully they're looking after your interest, and so they're going to prescribe to you what they feel is in your best interest to be of help. Well, God's Word is our medicine. God's Word is medicine for the soul. And, you know, we must take it every day, right? I mean, we need to take it in every day. We need to feed upon it, and we need to memorize it. Because there's times where we may be in a situation where we don't have the Bible. We don't have it on our cell phone, but we may need a scripture verse that we just want to give us that strength to get through the day. And it's good to know that God's Word can be that medicine that can fulfill that emptiness or that pain that we feel, right? And one of the great joys and benefits of Bible reading is really the discovery of things that we find in the Bible. You see, we discover great truths, don't we? We discover promises that God gives us in the Bible, some treasures there. Listen to our text again. He says in verse 5, "Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord God." Now, Jacob, Abraham, and Isaac, we see here, were the recipients of God's blessings through the Abrahamic covenant. And also, church, because of Jesus and what he did upon the cross of Calvary over 2,000 years ago, we are the recipients of God's blessings. And so we've titled this message today, "The Best Things in Life Are Free." And what are they? Well, they require, these would really come in the category of some minimum daily requirements that I believe that God gives us that really are the best things in life. We see that in verse 5. It reads like those charts on a vitamin bottle that lists the minimum daily requirements for health. And here we have the minimum daily requirements for that spiritual health that are only provided by God. Satan cannot come up with these. He's tried to, you know, wrap them in nice little packages of sin, you know, of things that look flashy and they get our attention, that if you try this, then it'll bring you happiness or joy. I've never known alcohol bringing happiness to anybody. You drink enough of it, it's gonna do you in eventually. Drugs, you know, never known that brings happiness. One lady went to try to rob a bank the other day. Was it Clanton or somewhere? And, you know, of course, you know what? I never understand why these people want to go in and rob a bank. Do you, Paula? You work at a bank. You know, because they're going to get caught. They're going to get caught. Yeah, there's cameras everywhere. And every now and then one may get loose. And it may take them a while to catch them, but eventually they're going to get caught. And then what happens? They probably done spent all the money by then, or tried to hide it, thinking I'm gonna find it later. But then they spend a good part of their life in prison. Never understood that. But you know what? I've never been tempted to do anything like that. Am I capable of doing that? Yeah, we're all capable of doing that because of our sin nature. But you know what? That's what Satan wants to do. He wants to wrap everything up in a nice little package and say, "This will bring you hope. This will bring you happiness. This will help you in life. Just try it." Well, that's a lie. But God has given us in verse 5 the things that are provided only by him that are minimum daily requirements. Really, if we would put them into practice. Now, these requirements are for our spiritual health. Okay? We all want that, right? We want to be healthy spiritually. That's one of the reasons why you're in church today, I would imagine. It's because you want to be healthy spiritually. And so verse 5 lays it out. Three things. Number one, it's very simple, and that's the word help. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help. By the way, no matter how strong and efficient you are, there will come a time when you will need help, right? My wife called me up camp this week. I was at camp. She says, there's on my car, it's reading that one of the tires are low. Okay. Well, she called me because she knows I take care of that. And I didn't mind. If I was in town, I would take care of it. And she wasn't calling to get me home for that, but to get information, where should I take it? And I appreciate her doing that. I don't want her to just take it anywhere. So I told her, I said, well, take it up to Chevron. They're good about coming out. By the way, good Christian people who own Chevron here in Prattville. Been there for years. And I said, you pull up there and you tell them what's going on. They'll check your tire. She calls me a little bit later. She says, well, I'm at Chevron. And they found a nail in my tire. And they're fixing it. Now, that made me feel good. Number one, I was able to recommend to her to go to the right place. And they jumped right on and they took care of her. And I didn't worry about it one little bit. Why? Because she needed help and I couldn't be there to help her. You know, and, you know, we all need help. Maybe some simplistic things like low tire pressure. Now, for a lady, that can be a big thing, especially if you're on the interstate. Now, that'd be a big thing for me. But, you know, thank God we are surrounded by a number of helpers. Now, in the physical world, we have mechanics. We have automobiles that you're thankful for. We have doctors who help with our bodies. We have dentists for our teeth. Thank God for police officers that, boy, they do a good job. They're being criticized a lot today. And there's some bad apples everywhere. Bad preachers. By the way, let me just get off on this. The reason they say the NFL is don't stand up and salute the flag is because of our police officers. All right? That are mistreating, you know, the blacks. There's racism, and there's always going to be racism until Jesus comes. That's part of the sin nature of man. Does it make it right? No. But for you to take it out on your country, you know, that bothers me. I appreciate it. I don't watch an NFL game. Not just because I really didn't watch it much at all anyway. I like Alabama and Auburn. Right? That's enough for me, right? That's why we don't have NFL in Alabama. You haven't noticed that? They don't do good in Alabama. I mean, Alabama and Auburn, they get enough attention around the world. But anyway, you know, thank God for our police officers. I tell you what, first one I'm going to call if I'm in trouble or have an emergency, I'm going to pick up and call 911 and hopefully get a police officer there. And usually they're there pretty quick in Prattville. We have some good officers right here in our city. We need to pray for them. They put their life on the line. We was at camp this week. And every night we had a sheriff there, I mean, all decked out, and I think he had a couple of guns on, and he had his vest on, didn't we, Alex? And back there, and listen, why was he there? He wasn't there necessarily for protection. We don't necessarily need all that. I mean, we're in Dayton, Tennessee on the mountain. I mean, but he was there because he's a Christian. We had a couple of deputy sheriffs every night there because they were involved in the camp and working there. And so they would just show up every night. They loved to come for the preaching. And they were there hanging out. And, you know, things like that. Thank God for that kind of help. You know, teachers. You know, thank God for teachers who help with our kids every day. And we have some in our church. But also, you know, in our public school, you know, teachers, they have to put up with a lot. Not just public school, but all of our teachers. I mean, as a bus driver, you know, I don't have a lot of this on my bus. I've been blessed, but there's some things that, listen, parents are introduced to by kids that, because parents are not bringing their kids up, if you notice today, in the way that they ought to be brought up. So teachers have to put up with a lot. You know, thank God for the help of our teachers. Thank God for other things that, Lord, that God's helped us with. I like to know I can go get in my car today. I have a way of transportation to get home and to get to church, and planes and trains or whatever. Listen, we cannot make it alone. God's provided help. We need help. But above all, and above all these things, one whose help is above all these things, and that's God. That's the God of Jacob that we see in verse 5. Go to Psalm 46 in verse number 1. Go to Psalm 46, not 146, but Psalm 46. So go back several chapters. In verse 1. What does it say? God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. God's not off in a distance somewhere, but God's there at our beckoning call. Matter of fact, Psalm 46 is the scriptural, listen to me, it's the scriptural catalyst for Martin Luther's great hymn that's in our songbook today, "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God." God is our refuge. You see, it's a reminder that God indeed protects His people upon the earth. Also, it reminds us that God provides stability, as we see in verse 7 and verse 11 in that chapter 46. God does this for His people during unstable times. And folks, we have seen just in our lifetime already, we've seen some unstable times, haven't we? We've seen some things that's tested our faith as a nation, as believers. Psalm 121 in verse 2 says, "My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth," the psalmist says. Notice the psalmist did not look to creation, but rather to the Creator for His help. You know, my help is not coming from the mountains, the clouds. My help is not coming from the environment. A lot of people put a lot of emphasis on things that really, it's just a waste of time. But listen, our help comes from our Creator, God. He's in control of things. So, thank God we're surrounded by a number of helpers. But also, sometimes people fail us, right? And but we can say this about ourselves, sometimes we fail others. Sometimes people fail us, sometimes we fail others, but Jesus never fails. Notice He is called in our text the God of Jacob. Now, this is a great encouragement because Jacob was the kind of person who was always needing help. In other words, we can all relate to Jacob there because we're the kind of people that always need help. You ever have some kids that need more help than others? In other words, if you've got a large family, my son and his wife have 5 kids, 4 boys and a daughter. And I've seen them as the oldest is 7 years old, and they've all gone through stages of one needing more help than the other. And you always seem to have one that stands out, you know, just don't have the confidence. And sometimes we blame it on the youngest maybe of the family. But we all can relate to that. We all need help. And when sometimes Jacob, he was always needing help. He was that kind of person. When he deceived his brother and his father and he had to leave home, Jacob was all alone and he was in an unfriendly world. Yet God protected Jacob, and even God directed and met his every need. Sometimes we're like Jacob, right? God helps us when we don't deserve it. Have you noticed that? When I don't deserve God's help, when I'm not as faithful as I think I should be, or maybe as I think God expects me to be, or you can name things that you find yourself, really, I don't deserve it, but God blesses anyway, doesn't He? Now, God doesn't bless our wrongdoing. God doesn't bless sin. But when other men tried to hurt Jacob, God stepped in to shelter Jacob. As you know, read about his life, Jacob was sometimes a disobedient man, but God still helped him and saw him through whatever it was he was going through. God, in His great mercy, as we see in the life of Jacob, works in the same fashion with us. In His great mercy, God is our helper. He's proven that many times over. Hebrews chapter 13 in verse 5 and 6, it says, "For He hath said, I will never leave thee." God says in Hebrews 13, 5 and 6, "I will never leave thee." In other words, I'll never desert you. Now, I've had friends that along the way in my lifetime that I don't hear from them anymore. And I remember there's one that just decided he's not going to be my friend anymore. And, you know, I felt at that time, that was years ago, I felt deserted. You know, it's my friend. Why? And you know, sometimes the human flesh gets in the way, and sometimes anger or whatever it may be, but God never allows that to happen to him. Thank the Lord for that. We sometimes treat God in such an unkind way. We don't treat God like he's God, but we treat him sometimes like he's a thing that we pull him off of the shelf sometimes when we need help. And then when we're finished with God, we put him back on the shelf. And it's only whenever we want God to do something for us. Sometimes we treat God like that. And I know I may be painting a picture that maybe you say, well, I'm not like that. But you know what? I think if we're honest, we all find ourselves in some ways not treating God the way that he treats us. We don't deserve his blessings. Hebrews 13:5-6, for he hath said, I will never leave thee, desert thee, nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say. In other words, he says, I'll never leave you or never forsake you. I'll never desert you. So you can boldly say, or you can confidently say with courage, the Lord is my helper, and I will never fear what man shall do unto me. I'll never be afraid because God is there. He's my helper. You know, others may bring pain in my life, but God never leaves me. That's part of the medicine that God gives to us daily. That ought to be a daily requirement for spiritual growth, is to remind ourselves God is that help. Second thing to remember this morning as a minimum requirement for our spiritual help is that word hope that we see in verse 5. We see in verse 5 of Psalm 146, it says, whose hope is in the Lord. Now, this week the theme of camp was hope changes everything. And that was the theme of camp for our kids. And so the preacher preached on that theme all week. Hope changes everything. And you know, I had the privilege of listening to that, knowing I'm going to come back and preach a similar message on at least one point of that. But, you know, hope does change everything. Hope simply means that God's the one that gives us that confident optimism that we all look for in life. And for a Christian, it comes only from God. As again, the world likes to paint it up is that the world can provide hope. Listen, as we know today that people are not finding hope in society today. I mean, we find that to be the case because we see and hear of multitudes of people on this earth who have little or no hope today. They have nothing to live for and nothing to look forward to. Many people had rather die than to live, and so they seek to end it all. Some of the mass killings that we've seen, it's not the guns that are killing people. It's the fact that people, listen, yes, are using something like a knife or a gun or a brick or whatever you want to use, but the fact is, they've lost hope or they don't have hope. And so therefore they say, well, I'm going to end it. Not only for myself, but for others. And you know what? Satan, he's using that tool. And yeah, we need to be wise in how we handle matters, even the weapons that we all have in our homes. But yet, you know, hope is not found in society. Hope is only found in God. When you know Christ and the way that, listen, church, that we can change society and we can change the world and we can change our school, we can change our home life, is that when we find Jesus Christ, there is hope. You see, you can always have hope knowing Jesus. Can you imagine living this life without hope? You know, that's what life is for a lost person. A lost person who does not know Jesus does not have any hope of tomorrow. They don't have any hope of eternity. But thank God for those who have placed their trust in Jesus. Hope is something that can be real. But by the way, hope is not a mirage. Or it's not blind optimism. Our hope is built upon one thing, and that's the certainty of God. The certainty of God. Now, Hebrews 6:19. If you want to listen to this passage, you can turn there. But in Hebrews 6:19, Paul says, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul. We have hope as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. In other words, we are told that our hope in Christ is an anchor. In other words, our hope in Christ is the one, it provides that stability that we need, that security. Yesterday I was at home, my wife and I were coming from Montgomery, driving home, and we saw in a distance in Prattville, boy, there's some rough rain that's coming our way. And we got home just in time to miss the heavy rain, got indoors, but then all of a sudden I heard the thunder and the lightning, and it was a little rough for a time period. Brother Dave Malawan can tell you about that, right, Brother Dave? And they got caught in it a little bit. But, you know, maybe some of you did. But you know what? In life, we're going to face storms of life. And there will be some tomorrow. There'll be some this week that you might wonder how you're going to get through this storm you're going through in life, whether it be a wayward child or whether it be some sickness or whatever you're faced with. There's things that come our way. Who is your anchor during that time period? Well, Paul says, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. That anchor will never slip or never fail. Praise God for that. The Christian rejoices in hope because he knows that the future is secure in Christ. Our hope is based on God's word because we believe and we trust in his word. We experience hope in what we find in God's word. No matter how dark the day, praise God, we have the light of his word that encourages us. I read about Ferdinand Magellan. I'm trying to pronounce his name correctly. He lived a long time ago. He wanted to travel around the world. Well, during that time, they didn't have the technology that we have. So he took 35 compasses with him to travel around the world. I don't know why 35. I guess if one quit working, the other one, you know, I don't know. And he started his voyage around the world. And the reason he had the compass, obviously, is to give him direction, to get him to his location. And by the way, ships today, modern day ships still work that way. Now, they may have the modern technology that's used, but a ship without a compass is doomed. I wouldn't want to be on a ship without a compass, would you? I mean, I've been out on a body of water, out on the ocean, with you don't see any land. And it can be a scary thing when you're out there. You're hoping that pilot knows what he's doing, that he knows what to get us to that next piece of land, because you don't want to be out there without it. And, you know, life is the same way. Without hope, our salvation, without salvation, there is no hope. So if you have placed your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, praise God, you can have hope. Now, sometimes we put our hope in the wrong places, don't we? In the wrong things of life. Titus chapter 3 and verse 7, Paul says, being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a living hope, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. You see, Paul is telling us where we can find that hope. Peter is telling us where we can find that hope. Hope means confident optimism, which comes from God. It's a gift of grace, hope is. It's defined very clearly in Scripture. It's that reasonable reality that God gives us. Hope is secured by the resurrection of Christ. Hold on, what do you mean, preacher? We've talked about this recently. What if Jesus did not rise from the dead? Where is our hope? If he's still dead and he's in the grave, listen, that's terrible news for a believer, right? Because there's no hope. There's no hope for us. of having eternal life. So praise God, 3 days later he rose from the dead. So hope is confirmed in the believer by the Holy Spirit as well. Where's your hope? How do you know you have hope? Well, if you have Jesus in your heart, then how is that confirmed that you have Jesus in your heart? By the presence of the Holy Spirit of God, who provides that hope. And then we know that hope is defined. Hope defends the Christian against Satan's attack. Satan's going to come at you this week. Satan's maybe already trying to come at you. You know what? Thank God for hope. I mean, hope is confirmed through the trials that we face in life. We see that in 1 Peter. Hope produces joy. And then hope is fulfilled in Christ's return. Yes, we know that one day Jesus is coming again. Praise God. And you know what? We look to that day that the clouds will be open. And one day we'll hear the trumpet sound, if we're in that generation that gets to hear it. And you know what? We'll know what that means. That means that my hope has been fulfilled in Christ. Oh, we're to tell others of that hope, aren't we? 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15 says, "But sanctify, that is, set apart the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to everyone that asketh you a reason of the hope, that is, the salvation that's in you, with meekness, that is, gentleness and fear or reverence." Be ready, God says. That's what we challenge you with these outreach cards. Listen, somebody moves in your neighborhood, be one of the first to say, "Hey, would you come to my church?" God says, hey, as a Christian, be one of the first to share Jesus with others. Because there's people around you. There's some that every day that you go to work and you work around people that have no hope. You hear some of the sob stories, how rough the weekend was, or maybe how they just spent their weekend at the bar, you know, or they found themselves, and some of you know people that are on drugs and alcohol. Had a young man call me just yesterday. Actually, it was Friday. Seeking assistance. We have